Good morning, good morning, good morning. This morning, we get to engage God's word in the Psalms with the Psalms of Praise. And before we go any farther, I am going to pray. And I'm going to pray by reading Psalm 103, or part of it, which is part of what we studied this week. We're going to say, Lord, we just praise you. Oh, our souls, we praise you, Lord. All of our inmost beings, we praise your holy name. We praise you, Lord, from the depths of our soul, and we don't forget your benefit, who forgives all of our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems our lives from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion, who satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. To verse 19, Lord, you are established on your throne in heaven, and your kingdom rules over all. We praise you, Lord, and you, his angels, praise the Lord. You mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word, praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts. You, his servants who do his will, praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. God, would you come and fill this place? Lord, if someone is listening to this who's far away, God, would you be near to them right now? Holy Spirit, thank you that you are everywhere, all the time. God, we thank you for being all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing. God, we thank you that you transcend time and that we cannot fathom your beginning or your end. Lord, we worship you because you are God and we are not. Come and fill this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Did y'all know that the phrase, the Hebrew phrase, hallelujah, is two words and it's translated as praise the Lord. I think I learned that at some point back in the day, but was reminded again as I studied it for our time together this morning. And so, even Psalm 103 and many of the Psalms both start and bookend with hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we join them in saying praise the Lord this morning. I just want to say good morning, my dear friend. I have missed you and how much I have longed to study and looked forward to this day where we get to be in God's word together. This is just, it's a treat for me to get to be here. And I love that. This morning we are studying the Psalms of Praise, and I'm going to go ahead and just start by addressing the elephant in the room. And no, that is not just my own growing baby belly, although that is a real thing that's happening. But perhaps this division of Psalm is a tough one for someone right now. Perhaps Psalms of Praise feel far away, or even a little ingenuine. Perhaps the circumstances of life don't match the upbeat melodies or affirming words. And I'm just going to go on record by saying that's okay. That is just fine. There is room for that reality with the Lord, and there is room for that in the book of Psalm, and there's especially room for that in the Psalms of Praise. The first verse in Psalm 103 says, all my inmost being praise his holy name. And that's not cutting corners or saying, wait until you feel like it, or if it feels right to you, or on a good day, all my inmost being praise his holy name. And in fact, in another version, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That phrase, O my soul, is from the Hebrew word nefesh, which is the living inner human being, the seat of our emotions, passions, activity of the mind, activity of the will. And then that next phrase, all that is within me, is kol kereb. It is the midst, the inner part, the middle, the seat of thought and emotion and our faculties of reasoning. So Those words together are the essence of who we really are deep down truly. Not the dressed up, carefully curated version of us. Not the put together, got my act all in line, ducks in a row. What you want other people to see, but the sincere, intimate, real you. Maybe the one that didn't get a chance to shower in the last 4 days because you were caring for somebody else's need. Maybe it's the you that is trying really hard to cling to truth, even though you've got a lot of physical reason to make some good question to the Lord. It's not just our feels, but who we really are, uniquely, individually created in the image of God. You see, truth is true whether I feel like it or not. And here, this, the book of Psalm, is what, in a nutshell at least for me, brings home, because it is the clear lens through which I can examine my own experiences, joys, heartaches, victories, losses, deep grief, struggles, celebrations, hope. But more importantly, it reveals and reminds me of God's character more than my own meanness. God's word takes the spotlight off me and puts it rightly back on Him. So today, with whatever we bring to the table, wherever you are, whatever your feels are or your heart is, we're going to study Psalms of Praise. Welcome. And by the way, for those that I have not met, my new best friend, my name is Becca Ford, and I love you deeply. We might not have had the chance yet to sit down for coffee like I long to, or laugh and weep on my couch together surrounded by the lively chaos of my two small children. But oh, do I wish that we could. I wish we could swap stories about God's kindness and the wrestling match of being human sinners, grappling with the truth of God's graciousness to us. And I wish we could pray together and praise together for hours, deeply engaging in God's fellowship for like as much uninterrupted time as we wanted to. But that is not my season at the moment, and I have learned to be okay and even grateful for that. Instead, I'm going to ask you to do two things. One, would you share that kind of time with someone else, especially if you have the chance of doing it in your small group? After this, get familiar with each other. Have real conversations. Share your deep heart. Pray, laugh, weep, praise. Do the thing. Be friends. Imagine it's me wishing that I could curl up on a couch with you and offer you tea, and then we'd talk about life. But in lieu of that, please know this. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. You're deeply loved. Not just by me, but by God. He sees you. He knows what you're carrying. He knows who you're carrying. He loves you. He is pleased with you. He delights in you. And He longs to spend time with you. This opportunity to study the psalm is an invitation into relationship with Him. And He wants and is ready for you to spend any time that you have with Him. So a little bit about my story. I mentioned my name is Becca Ford, and I am a basket case saved by grace, by God's kindness. I surrendered my life to Jesus when I was really small. So young mamas, I see you and I am with you and we are in it. Older mamas, what you have planted might even still be deep in the ground, waiting on the Lord's timing to erupt and blossom. And grandmama, you guys should be up here teaching instead of me, because I know that you have wisdom that I can't even begin to fathom yet because of the maturity that God has allowed you. But I need you to know that your words are powerful and valuable, and that they land and that when you use them for good, oh my word, are they powerful. I know this personally because it was a grandmama who brought me to Jesus. She spoke truth to me, and I'm grateful forever that I had so many people in my life that were the ones that were speaking truth. So if you have little people in your life, you could be the one that makes the difference. Don't miss the opportunity just because they're little. They're listening. I was 5 years old when I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And ever since then, I have been doing everything I can to surrender and trust Him. My husband Clay and I are currently in the little people season where we're desperately trying to make the most of each fleeting moment, perilously aware that time is moving so quickly and yet also that the days can be crazy long, without honestly being able to fully recall what, if anything, did I do today. I'm not real sure, but I know that something had to happen because I think we're all still alive at the end of the day. But even more so these days, I'm also aware that the arrival of our third child in November will change the pace of life again. And so I feel this pressing sense of urgency to make the most of our time. Most days I encounter God's word in a thirsty, desperate sort of way. And ooh, am I glad for the book of Psalms because, well, I'll get into this at the end, but essentially it has become my lifeline and an avenue for my daily bread. I get to sit down with the Lord at the beginning of the day, rightly position my heart. And some days it is ugly, and some days it is fast, and some days I am distracted. All days I am distracted. But He is faithful. And even when it doesn't seem like what I read in the morning makes sense, I cannot tell you the number of times that it has showed up later in my day that it wasn't even for me that He put that on my mind or in my heart. Being faithful to sit down with God's word does not ever return void. His word tells us that. But surrendering and trusting the Lord with all that I have and all that I am has at times looked ugly. It has looked pretty. It has looked and felt super insane and the opposite of logical. Oh, to know the joy and the freedom of knowing God and deepening my time in His Word, soaking it up like a sponge so that when we're inevitably squeezed by life, it's His Word that pours out of us. In fact, I'm reminded of what Diane said last week when she was teaching on Psalms of Wisdom. And she said, nothing is more essential than tending our relationship with the Lord because truly out of this is what will flow who we are, not just what I do, but who I am. If I'm tending to my relationship with God, then I'm plugged into the lifeline of what I was created to be. When we rightly submit ourselves to His wisdom and His sovereignty, and when we let Scripture shape our thinking and God's kingship govern our lives, as Diane implored us, and as we experience the freedom that we were created to thrive in, we start to really live the life that we were created for. So that's what I love about the book of Psalms. It helps us rightly posture ourselves before the Lord. And if I were to ask, what are some of the words that you think of when you think of posture? You might think of sitting up straight or putting your shoulders back. And in this moment, I think all of us just sat up a little straighter and put our shoulders a little farther back. Just a little adjustment there. And we think about how we stand and how we sit. But what about posture as a means of how we communicate? Where does posture fit in there? I had a conversation with some friends earlier, and we were talking about posture, and there were a couple of ideas that came up. One was respect, and I loved that because I thought that is exactly true about our posture. You can tell when someone is entering into a conversation or a relationship with a posture of respect, either an arrogant knowing it all or a ready to learn something. And then someone else brought up a posture of humility. And as it happens, that's actually what we're going to kind of aim at right now, because this This is the essence of the difference between when I approach God's word with my own agenda versus approaching God's word, asking Him to reveal Himself to me. When we rightly submit ourselves to His wisdom and to His sovereignty, when we let Scripture shape our thinking and God's kingship govern our lives, it brings about a heart of humility. In humility, in worship, in acknowledgement of His lordship in our humanity, elevating His unchanging character in all circumstances puts us rightly in our place, eyes focused on Him rather than ourselves. Psalms draws us to worship because of who God is. And the book of Psalms disciplines our heart in the gentlest, most intimate ways, inviting us into that deep relationship our souls crave. And now when I say discipline, I'm not referring to the purposeful act of training or maybe even consequences that are a punishment, but discipline is to develop self-control, strength of character, and resolve. Discipline is a healthy habit-forming behavior, you know? It's saying, I'm going to repeat this action in the hopes that as I repeat it, it becomes part of who I am and it becomes part of what I naturally do instead of having to work so hard at it. We could spend a lot of time looking at God's word on the subject of discipline and on what it means to be have consistent character submitted to God. We're not going to do that today, but I'm going to tell you right now that getting into the book of Psalms and taking the time to study it, not just familiarize ourselves with it, but to fall in love with it, to get intimate with what does it mean to understand God's character through the act of worship in Psalm. It's an act of discipline that has, for me, utterly changed my life. There's a song that we had the chance to play before we got started this morning called Don't Forget His Love, Psalm 103, and it's by Ellie Holcomb. And if you're like, Psalm 103, feels like that's the theme. It is. It's because it's also one of the psalms that we studied this week for Psalms of Praise. But the first five verses of that psalm are the entire psalm that she sang. And it is one of the most delightful ways that I have ever encountered to memorize God's word. Because you get to just enjoy it. And if you play it over and over and over again, like a familiar movie that you grew up loving, all of a sudden you find yourself quoting it and you can pretty much do the whole monologue. But when we set it to music, there's this sweet thing that happens to our heart that just draws us in, and you can hum it and all of a sudden you are reciting scripture to yourself and you're speaking truth over to yourself. By the way, if that's a song that you want to hear again, on the Fellowship Women's Bible Study, Fellowship Bentonville Women's Bible Study website, I'm not sure I got that right, we've listed our Spotify playlist, and it's on there along with a bunch of the other songs that we're going to use for the Psalms study. And I would just highly recommend tossing those on a loop. Or if you want to get in touch with me, I have a really great playlist that I actually created for my kids this summer. I knew that we were going to be studying Psalms this fall, but before that, I had started to think about what we put in is what we get out. What comes out of us when we're squeezed is what we've invested into ourselves. And so I started just playing scripture in song in the background when we'd be doing things around the house this summer. And there is maybe no sweeter sound than hearing my daughter playing with her dollhouse alone in her room, and she's just humming to herself. And then I realize that she's humming the entirety of a chunk of scripture because that's what has been playing on a loop in our house. Or my son, Ben, who's four, who's like ramming trucks against each other, and he's singing, submit to God, resist the devil, crash, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Anyway, if you want the playlist, let me know. Another great resource Johanna Musgraves had, the Lamplighter songs, and they are available on Spotify, and she's crazy talented, and I'm so grateful for her. But more scripture set to music. If you have little people in your life, just toss it on in the background. Honestly, toss it on in the background for yourself. Most of the stuff I listen to for myself, because I want to beef up my own scripture knowledge. Anyway, it has been so powerful and humbling, and we do this because we are seeking to develop a discipline of praise, to train little hearts and ours, my husband and I, in a posture of humility and worship because of truth. There are a bunch of verses in Psalm 119 that I have lovingly referred to as my battle verses, because I have used them so many times that they are just the thing that I reach for when I'm in the dark, when I'm in a dark night of the soul, or when I have encountered something. I remember having a panic attack at one point within the last several years, and I felt like I was falling, endlessly falling, and all of a sudden, all I could do, I just started reciting every single Bible verse I knew to myself. I was sitting there gasping for air, muttering every Bible verse I could think of. And while the anxiety and the feeling of panic did not leave immediately, the sense of peace did come immediately. And it was like being in the middle of a war, but knowing that I was not contending for myself, because God was fighting on my behalf. And that is what we have when we have God's word in our hand, sharper than a double-edged sword. Here are some verses from Psalm 119 that give us a foundation for what it means to memorize scripture and why. Psalm 119 was one of the Psalms of wisdom that we had a chance to look at last week. It is the longest psalm in the book of the Bible, and if you've never read it top to bottom, I highly recommend it, because you will be richly rewarded. Here are some of my battle verses. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, God. Psalm 119:32. I run in the path of your command, for you have set my heart free. Psalm 119:35, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Psalm 119:45, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precept. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I ache for this to be what comes out when my kiddos are squeezed. I ache for this to be what comes out of me when I am squeezed, because truth is always true, whether I feel like it or not, and whether I fully understand it or not. It does not change that God's truth is true. So when David and the psalmists were squeezed, what poured out of them was often raw, true, unfiltered worship. It's not always attractive or easy to read, but sincere and rightly postured before the Lord. It's postured in a heart of humility, one that is surrendered. So, what is praise? I'm going to give you a dictionary definition, and then I'm going to give you a simple definition. The dictionary definition is to express admiration or approval of the achievements or characteristics of a person or thing, or also to honor, worship, and express admiration of God, or admiration to God, excuse me. So here's the Becca Ford version. Praise is seeing something and going, yes, that is good. I understand that is good. That is awesome. You are awesome. That is what praise is. It is acknowledging a good thing as being good. And praise is not. So that's what praise is. Here's what praise is not. Praise is not about me being happy. Praise is not about me being comfortable. Praise is about accurately acknowledging who God is, his lordship over my life, regardless of my understanding of the circumstances I am experiencing. Last week, Diane offered the wise nugget summarizing truth in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Wisdom is letting Scripture shape our thinking and God's kingship govern our lives. Wisdom is letting Scripture shape our thinking and God's kingship govern our lives. And that's what Diane shared with us last week. It's kind of a summary of 1 Corinthians 1:30. So then to ask ourselves the question, so, okay, what shapes our thinking? Like, what shapes our thinking really as an individual? What is the loudest voice between my ears? Is it me? Go ahead and just shut your eyes right now and just give yourself a minute to think. Let's say you're somewhere where you don't have access to a podcast or someone talking to you, or you've just got like 5 minutes of silence, 10 minutes of silence. It's a really healthy practice to engage in, by the way, silence. What starts going on in your mind? What is the voice that you start hearing most loudly between your ears? Is it you? Is it the message that the world gives you? Is it Scripture? Is it the Lord's voice? Whatever it is the thing that is the undercurrent under your thought. And we usually don't realize what it is or where it comes from until we pause and consider that. I know that for myself, when I let junk in, and my input is an empty thing, my output tends to be a lot emptier. So if the voice I'm hearing between my ears isn't the Lord, it's something inferior to all the goodness that God has for me. So that's, what am I listening to in wisdom? And the second question then is, what governs my life? So what shapes our thinking and what governs our life? What is determining my focus and my vision? What's driving my pursuits? What is governing me? It's pretty clear that if my answer isn't immediately Jesus or what God tells me about himself and his word or his truth, then I'm fairly certain that I am what is governing my life. Or worse, I am looking elsewhere for someone to control my life. And neither of those options are fulfilling, and neither of those options are satisfying, and neither of those options welcome me into the freedom that God has for me when I let him be on the rightful throne of my heart. Having the courage to answer those questions honestly, what shapes my thinking, what governs my life, gives me a peek into the reality of who's truly on the throne of my own heart. And then it reveals my posture in praise. Because if I am on my own throne, if I am on the throne of my own heart, it's pretty hard for me to have a humble posture of praying. Instead, I'm coming in saying, look at me, about me, about me. And in fact, when I think about posture, I think about the endless ways the human body can be positioned. Body language speaks loud volumes without a single word or sound being uttered. And I know that for myself, if I am struggling to praise the Lord, it's often because my heart's posture is proud and has a flex, kind of stance rather than rightly humble. I'm approaching life with myself as the focal point, my self-importance has obscured my view of God's true character. My self-importance has obscured my view of God's true character. If I have a misunderstanding of who God is, then it is going to lead to me utterly misunderstanding the purpose of my life. If I think God is withholding, then I am going to go seek satisfaction elsewhere. If I think God is angry with me, then I am not going to hear him when he delights over me. If I think that God is selfish, then I am probably going to be selfish. But if I go to God's word and I understand what he says his character is, and then proves over the scope of history, then I have two choices. I either get to respond rightly to God by agreeing with his character, or I get to deny him and walk away and live subject to my own consequences. He gives us that choice because he gave us free will, because he loves us. He will not force his love on us, but instead he welcomes us into an intimate relationship. In fact, the Psalms of Praise draw us back into that discipline, those healthy habits, those purposeful developments of self-control by posturing our hearts rightly before God. And one of my favorite ways this happens is by the subtle but consistent structure we find in the Psalms of Praise. Even though they vary in length and style, you may start to notice three things that happen really, really quickly in the Psalms of Praise. There's one call to worship. Maybe it's hallelujah, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Then there's a reasons for the praise, and that is usually just admiration after admiration after admiration after admiration for what God has done, how he has delivered, his creativity, highlighting God's character, his enduring faithfulness, his deliverance, his forgiveness, on and on. And then it ends with a renewed call to worship, bringing us back to affirming God's character with adoration. I will praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sing to him a new song. It's bookended on either end by a call to worship. And in the middle of the sandwich is reasons for praise. So if we were to take a peek at one more psalm super quick, we would look at Psalm 145. This one's one of my personal favorites, especially because of the intergenerational welcome it rolls out to praise him together. And I will read it at the end as I close this, but it's so beautifully simple and so elegantly obvious. Because for a scatterbrain like me, the Hebrew poetry structure of stating something and then reaffirming it in the next line, that two-line kind of building block, it really works. It amplifies truth and then stamps down distraction. It's a perfect rubric or guideline for how we can discipline our heart's posture towards the Lord and praise. We choose to praise, and then we repeat that praise. We declare what he has done, and then we declare what he has done again. And then we declare what he has done, and then we say it again. Him, his work, his power, his history, his promises, him, 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 him. And then we close by choosing to praise again. The focus is the Lord. It's not me. Praise is born out of a heart rightly postured and focused on him, 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 his character, his faithfulness, hope, because he is truth. Hope, because he is truth. And truth is true, even on the days when it doesn't feel like it. I'm so grateful for that. So when we are squeezed, what comes out? It'll be what we have disciplined ourselves to put in. And if you've never tried it, I would encourage you to practice for yourself. Start journaling your own psalms of praise as an act of spiritual discipline. The structure is bonkers easy. It writes the posture of my heart before the Lord like the keel of a ship. When I'm being tossed about in stormy waters, when I feel like I cannot find the surface, it puts me upright. Even if it doesn't feel true, it is true. And here's a fun fact. When the Lord gave me the word picture of the keel of a ship, I didn't really know a lot about the keel of a ship, except it was the sticky down part, not the rudder, but the like part that keeps the in the middle that stays down. Anyway, the keel of a ship, I looked this up and here's what it says. The keel of a ship serves as its backbone, providing stability and balance while preventing it from tipping over in rough waters. It also helps the vessel move efficiently through the water by minimizing sideways drift and enhancing maneuverability. It is usually the initial step of a ship's construction, the very foundation of the vessel. Oh, that truth, that praise, born out of understanding God's character rightly, would be the foundation for the vessel of my life's ship. That when the waters get rough, I would not be tossed or blown sideways because my keel is down, straight into the water, well-built, secure, anchored. I can't speak for everyone, but I can tell you this. The Lord has absolutely revolutionized my understanding of Him and filled my heart with a greater eternal scope than I could have hoped, simply by having the chance to be disciplined in the study of Psalm, for me, year after year. It has changed my prayer life. It has changed the posture of my heart before Him. It's changed the confidence of how I speak to people. It's changed my perspective when things feel good, and especially when they don't. I have people who have gone before me to thank for that, because I mentioned earlier that some time ago in high school, in fact, a very wise man named Alan Chug shared a tool with a room full of knuckleheaded Christian school kids, me included. He was our high school Bible teacher, and he taught us how to read through the entire book of Psalms and Proverbs in 1 month, and he would always open class with it every day. He would say, all right, let's pick one. And so today is the 23rd day of September, right? Is that right? Yeah. And so today would be Psalm 23, or if you add 30, it would be 23, 53, 83, 113, or 143. Essentially, he said, there are 150 psalms. There are 30-ish days in a month. If you pay attention to the date, then that means that you start with the date, and then you add 30. And you can read 5 psalms a day and get through the entire book of Psalms in a month. Now, I got to tell you, for an ADHD basket case saved by grace, that was music to my ears, but I knew there was no way I was ever going to make it through. I mean, like, I can't even do the same thing 3 days in a row, much less whole months, so forget about that. And I'm the actual worst at, like, finishing book studies. But year after year after year, all I have to do is look at the date on the calendar, pick my Bible up, and there I am in Psalm 15, Psalm 45, Psalm 75, 105, 135. And I've also gotten really good at counting by 30s, so that's an interesting bonus, but I will tell you that I've fallen in love with who God is because of what I've learned about Him in the book of Psalm. I have learned how to pray with a heart that's rightly postured before God because of the book of Psalm. I've learned about God's wrath and how it's not for me because of the book of Psalm. And I've learned about God's generosity and His kindness and His faithfulness and His creativity and the hope that I have in Him and His rescue and who God is because of the book of Psalm. Not because of a deep dive study, but because it's small, consistent, single bite. Some days I only have time to squeeze one psalm in. Some days it's like a really distracted 2 verses, but some days I get to soak up all 5 and the proverb of the day. But no matter what, I have found that spending time tending to my relationship with God consistently by praying through the Psalms, journaling through the Psalms, studying and diving deeply into His Word. Years later, I have this wealth of Scripture that has just been hidden in my heart by pure repetition to cling to in sincere praise. On heavy days, on happy days, overwhelming days, delightful days, disappointing days, days when I need to teach someone else something, days when someone else needs a word of encouragement, days when I have something I need to cling to, and days where all I can say is hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. May this be what is squeezed out of me all days of my life. We're going to close in prayer real quick, and I am going to pray that section of Psalm 145. I love this because it welcomes us into intergenerational worship and praise together. We're going to start with verse 4. It says, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty act. Yes, let's talk about the good things God's doing. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. God, this is what we ask. Would you make us a people who praise you one generation to another? Older to younger, younger to even younger, younger to older. God, would you help us be women who speak the truth on the days we feel like it and when we don't? Would you help us be people who lift each other up rather than even reach inside and tear our own selves down? Lord, help us listen to your voice to govern us. Praise the Lord, O our souls, and all that is within us. Praise his holy name. We love you, God. We worship you. Hallelujah. Amen.